Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. The Feast of the Dedication was taking place in Jerusalem. It was winter. And Jesus walked about in the temple area on the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long are you going to keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify to me. But you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can take them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one can take them out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today we finish our third of 3 days on Jesus' words to us about how he relates to us and wants us to relate to him. This is the relationship, the means by which we will receive life and abundance. This is the means by which he seeks to have us participate in his triumph over sin and death, to communicate with him risen from the dead. It was a second occasion in which he was speaking about sheep and shepherds. It was now the Feast of the Dedication during winter. A few months later, St. John put it in the same place so that it could help us to understand what we've heard these last 2 days in what we call the Good Shepherd Discourse. Today, Jesus teaches us 6 aspects of our Christian life that we need to grow in each Easter season. He says, first, you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. It's a curious reality. We would think that we first believe and then become his disciples. But faith is a gift of God that precedes our choices. For those of us who are baptized as infants, that's obvious. We receive the gift of faith, then we start to exercise that faith with God's help, and therefore we grow in faith. We're among his sheep first, but then we're called to believe, we're called to act on that faith, we're called to the life of faith. So we rejoice in the gift, and we find the gift is also a task. He says, "My sheep hear my voice." Jesus said elsewhere, said as we pondered on Sunday, that we do not follow the voice of strangers. We're able to distinguish between the two. You know, a lot of the times people ask questions about discernment, about ordinary things, not big things. Small little choices. The more we attune into the Lord's voice in prayer, the more we are able to hear him readily. And so these questions often just don't arise because of the way prayer works, in which we're able to distinguish his voice easily from the voice of the infernal one, or even our own echoing in terms of projecting what our own desires or needs would be, or fears. But we have to grow in that way to hear the Lord's voice in a distinct way, and he wants to give us that help. "I know them," he says. These are some of the most consoling words in sacred scripture. Jesus knows us. We can hear Psalm 139. He knows when we awake and when we stand. He knows everything about us. The essence of the Christian life is this mutual knowledge. We could even say biblical knowledge. We know that parable in which the people, the wise and the imprudent virgins, are knocking at the door, saying, "Open to us." He says, "I don't even know you." Our faith life, our relationship with the shepherd is one of mutual knowledge, but he deeply knows us, and he calls us to be his own, and he gives us that gift of faith and everything else we're going to hear. What an extraordinary consolation. Because he knows us and he gives us the knowledge to know him, we follow him. We follow him not because we're tied with a rope or a chain. We follow him willingly because we love him, because we want to follow the Lamb wherever he leads. That's what this relationship is about, and it's meant to continue all the way to heaven. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. The great gift is he gives his own life to us, and because that life is already within, death is just a change of address. Even should our earthly body fall to dust, as St. Paul will tell us, we know we have an imperishable place set for us in heaven. The eternal life Jesus specifies is not so much a thing, but it's that continued relationship. I am the resurrection of life. Anybody who believes in me will never die. Jesus will say later in St. John's Gospel, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Everything flows from that shepherd, good sheep relationship. And finally, no one can take them out of my hand. The hands of Jesus are that strong. They are, in a sense, the sheepfold. To remain there willingly is the choice of our life. No one can take them from his hand, not even all of the diabolical host. The only way we can get out of his hand is if we choose to wander, is if we leave. So that's why it's so important every day to renew our choice to remain in the hand of Jesus, to place ourselves there, to consecrate ourselves. Just as Jesus said, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit, we say to Jesus, Jesus, into your gloriously scarred hands, hiding in your wounds, I place my whole life. This relationship between sheep and shepherd, right in the heart of the Easter season, is what the Church wants us to grasp and to gain. We see Christians in relationship with the Good Shepherd in today's beautiful first reading. It's an extraordinary scene. St. Luke just gives us the historical facts. But what happened here changed the history of the world. The believers had been scattered all over. And in Antioch, which was the third greatest city at the time, after Rome and after Alexandria, some Cypriots and Cyrenians who had been banished there, began to speak not just to the Jews in the synagogues, their fellow believers, but they began to speak to the Greeks as well, proclaiming the Lord Jesus. Up until this point, there had been no formal application of Jesus' great commission to take the gospel to all creatures. It had been preached pretty much exclusively to Jews, or at least those very close to the Jewish people. So we see the deacon Philip go to Samaria, but the Samaritans were half Jews. We saw Peter at Cornelius's behest summon him and then baptize his family, but it wasn't a design on Peter's part. It was just something that the Lord himself took him and almost brought him there. This is the first demonstration of what we would call true evangelization of the Gentiles. Unnamed Cypriots and Cyrenians, who had just been booted and scattered out of fear, took advantage of that in order to share the faith with non-Jews. And they found really good soil. People who had been prepared to enter into this relationship with the Good Shepherd. The hand of the Lord was with him, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. So they were given the gift of faith, and then they constantly kept turning to and with the Lord. Continuous conversion. And when the Jews in Jerusalem found out, the Jewish Christians, the church in Jerusalem, they sent Barnabas to go to Antioch, the right man. We won't be together on Thursday, June 11th this year to celebrate St. Barnabas. But the one who was constantly the son of consolation or the son of encouragement, nicknamed Barnabas, which is what that means, precisely because of the way that he would strengthen people in faith. But he recognized the task was too big. He couldn't do it all himself. So the second very consequential aspect of the scene, he went to Tarsus and got Saul. Saul had been there for at least 7 years, according to biblical scholars, in Tarsus, after Barnabas had presented him to the leaders of the church in Jerusalem when nobody wanted to deal with him, after Barnabas had arranged to help him escape after the assassination plots had been placed on Paul's head in Jerusalem. 7 years later, Barnabas shows up in Tarsus and says, "Paul, I need you." And Paul immediately jumps into action, and for a year, the two of them formed the Christian community in Antioch. And we know already, but we'll see in upcoming days exactly what the Holy Spirit was planning to do there. Barnabas and Paul, two people who were good sheep, who became passionate shepherds. They were the ones who continued to grow in the faith of the Lord. They heard his voice summoning, as Paul did outside the walls of Damascus, for example, and followed the Lord even to death, death on a cross. And then they helped with a real shepherdly care to tend and feed Christ's flock, first here in Antioch, and then in churches all over. Just like the Cypriots and the Cyrenians had brought the gospel to the Gentiles in Antioch, so Paul and Barnabas would be the Lord's instruments to take it throughout Turkey, to take it to Greece, to take it even to Rome. It's God's will that all nations praise him. It's God's will that all nations come into a sheepfold. We ask the Lord today to help us to grow in our relationship with him as our good shepherd. As we place ourselves anew in his hand, and he places himself within us.